The RNIB's Talking Book Service was launched in 1935 to help soldiers who were blinded in the war. 82 years on, it's now a free service for all blind and partially sighted people in the UK, and we have one of the biggest libraries in the world. And by the end of the year, they will have supplied over 1.5 million books to its users, you listeners at home. Now, one of those books is up for an award at the Audio Production Awards. We're going to be joined first by Emma Swan. So Emma, can you just tell us here at RNIB's Connect Radio why you're involved?
I did a book at the RNIB earlier this year called Fools Fall in Love by Frieda Lightfoot, and it's up for Best Narration or Narrator of the Year at the Audio Production Awards.
Now, you've got some quite big names in that same award, haven't you? I mean, Michael Sheen and Hugh Bonneville.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I mean, it's just mental. Paddington's one of my favourite things in the whole world, so when I saw that category, yes, I was very excited and may have bought multiple online dresses that I cannot afford.
So you're feeling good about the nomination? I know you were put up for it. It was unbeknownst to you, really, wasn't it?
Completely. I'm currently rehearsing for The Elves and the Shoemaker in Ipswich, and I checked my phone at lunch and had this lovely email from Daryl, who was like, I hope you don't mind, but I'll put you up for this award. And I was like, I just want to give you a cuddle. I don't mind at all. I was completely delighted. And I just could not. I read that he included the category in the email, and I thought it was a joke at first. That's like someone's having me on. So, and my mum, bless her, because they're living out in Spain at the minute, and she's flying back on Thursday to come with us.
So no pressure. So you've got quite a thick Yorkshire accent. Has that helped when you've been doing books? And how long have you been narrating for? And did it help having this very strong accent?
Well, crazily, this was my first book with the RNIB. This book is my first one with them. I'd done another commercial book before that, thanks to the wonderful people at RNIB with Zoe and Rupert. They put me up for another one as well. But this was my first one, and I graduated from drama school in 2016, so I'm still sort of fresh out, and the RNIB sort of took me under their wing and have been putting me up for all sorts. And I think with the accent, it helps me to get regional stories, which I'm very happy to be telling in London. I'm a big fan of a regional story.
White Rose
was set in Manchester, or around Manchester area, and it was brilliant because you can. I like to have a lot of characters in there with different accents and stuff, but it's nice when the actual narrative voice, I think, has quite a strong regional accent.
Yeah.
I'm quite passionate about that in storytelling, that people can get used to hearing a regional voice telling the main, having the main perspective.
So is that something you?
Comedy character.
Is that something you'd listen out for if you were listening to an audiobook? If you were going to choose one, would you maybe go for one over another if they had a strong voice?
Yeah, I say so. But then I grew up with Stephen Fry's Harry Potter, but I suppose his magical way of transforming his voices for every character is massively inspired.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's, I think it's rather than preferring narrators with an accent, I think it's more than you fully believe them when they become
someone else.
That they treat an audiobook as you would a radio drama, is how I see it. And each character, when they speaks, you know, they become that person when it's dialogue. So.
You kind of mentioned there the RNIB kind of bring you along, but have you done audiobooks in other places aside from the Talking Book Studio in Camden?
No, never. So I started this last year. I auditioned for you guys back in, I think it was around February of last year, after being graduated a couple of months. I got recommendations. So I went to Drama Studio London, and they recommended that I apply to the RNIB because it's a great place to start and get such great experience, and obviously such a fabulous thing people to be working for. So no, I'd never done any. So it was my second ever audiobook, this one that I'm nominated for the award for, which is just madness. Real madness.
Well, fingers crossed. It'll be I'm sure it'll be a great night.
That's all I'm thinking, to be honest. I just feel so lucky to have been nominated and happy to have done the book itself and other books with you guys. And just, I'll have a very nice time with my mother, I think.
Coming over from Spain.
Yes, she is.
Wicked, all right.
She's stronger an accent as me, so we'll stand out.
Good, I'm glad. Representing Yorkshire even in Spain as well.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, Emma, thank you very much for talking to us here at RNIB
Thanks
Connect
so
Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So the book up for award that was narrated by Emma Swan was produced by three of the producers here at RNIB Talking Book Studios in Camden, Chris French, Tom Harrison and John Wakefield. I'm now joined by John. Hello, John.
Hello, Basil.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
So this book, John, could you just kind of summarise it for us? What was nice about working with it and working with Emma?
Well, it's one of those books that you get handed down that you would never, ever take off a shelf personally. But working in this job, you just get handed a variety
all
of books.
Sorts.
All sorts of books. And, you know, period romance, not necessarily my thing. But to sit down and to go, how do we make this the best that we possibly can for the people who will absolutely adore it?
Yeah.
And actually sitting down with Emma, who is a fantastic narrator.
It was only her second book, I think, she'd ever done.
I think it was her second book. And just pours everything into stuff she does. Just you just have this force of nature coming at you. And that's fabulous because you really get to manipulate and tell a story and really find where the nuances are in the writing. And especially a book like that, when you're not familiar with that particular genre, or that genre, you know, perhaps doesn't speak to you in a way that some of your favourite books might.
Yeah.
You really have to bring that story out and be more creative.
Yeah. And so one of Emma's biggest things is her accent. Obviously, she's very, very Yorkshire. Do you think it helps when you're recording a book to not have just RP? So for people listening that don't know what RP is, received pronunciation, which in layman's term is a posh British.
Posh London.
Posh London, yeah. So do you think it's important for accents within audiobooks?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's important generally across the board for representation anyway, but it really gives life to something, because I think one of the crucial differences between audiobooks and all sort of other forms of radio drama or whatever is that the narration is so much a part of the storytelling device that the narrator actively has to characterise the author as a personality.
Yeah.
And so when a book lives in a certain world, in a certain place, it really brings so much more if that person knows that world and has that accent.
Has the regional accent to go. Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't want to read a story about the mines in Sheffield read by a southerner, or I wouldn't as a Yorkshireman.
No, you want Richard Burton reading
that. Exactly, or somebody particularly Yorkshire like Tom Courtney, who we recorded a book here called Dear Tom, his book. I recorded it and I ended up actually crying at the end. It was such an emotional book. Me and the narrator both sat crying. It can be a very emotional thing, can't it, when you're recording an audio book?
It can, especially because you have to spend, you know, 5 days just one-on-one with someone and a story.
Yeah.
And there's no escape from it in both good way and bad way.
Yeah.
At the end of that, you always feel like, yeah, we've climbed that mountain.
And done it together.
And done it together.
So for people listening that might not know much about audiobook production, what is it that you think makes a great audiobook?
I think it is, it's a halfway house between trying to get a narrator who, as I was saying earlier, really is able to inject both character and pace into the narration, but doesn't overdo that. So you've got to find that lovely middle ground between not influencing and overbearing on characters in the book, but also always feeling like somebody is in that world, is guiding you through that story, because they are the heart of it.
Yeah.
And when you get a book that, particularly from the writing standpoint, balances narration without overbearing on character, which also leaves actors free to create that whole host of voices they do.
Like Stephen Fry in the Harry Potter books.
Exactly. I think the thing people don't quite have to think about until they have to do an audiobook is that actors, you know, you usually go and do a play, and most times you do a character brilliantly. We're asking them to probably come up with 20
many characters,
people at least, often, and keep them all in their heads. And they're going to go to a market at some point and, you know, another 20 traders are suddenly going to have to talk. And that's just an incredible achievement for any actor to pull off. It's such a unique skill. And I think we're very lucky working with the people we work with here.
Well, John Wayfield, thank you very much. And fingers crossed for Emma this evening at the awards.
Thank you very much.
Now, if you...